Last week we talked about welcome to the fire, or desire for the fire. Today, this week is welcome to the melting pot. You know, we talked a lot about the fire of God and what he wants to do in the purging and the cleansing and the preparing us. You know, Sunday school is open to everyone, but it's mandatory if you're wanting to be trained as a minister, because this is where you're going to get your basic teaching and preparation to become a minister. Everyone is a minister of some sort. You're going to minister to someone in your life. You're going to pastor at least your own children, maybe a neighbor or friend. So really everyone needs ministry training. But if you ever want to be planted and positioned in ministry here, it's required that you go through the Sunday school. So some people are saying, I'm volunteering. When are you going to train me? This is it. This is it. And know that you are being observed. You're being prayed for. We are taking each of you before the Lord and saying, where are they at? What do they need? How do we pray into their life for what needs to happen next? And what do we bring to the class? So it's happening. It's not like you're being tested and getting an A or an F on your paper, but it is developing as you keep coming to Sunday school. And eventually, somebody will personally, one-on-one, begin to take you into more advanced steps. The reason that we want to go into this melting pot, this fire of God, is because we do want to walk with Jesus. We want to be transformed into the image of Christ. And we're not going to do all of the inner healing. This is not a total inner healing session today. But they're so intermingled. Because in order to desire for God to open us up, see everything, get everything, change everything, we have to realize why we're doing it. Where are we going? Because sometimes it hurts. Sometimes that fire hurts, you know? So I just brought out the inner healing chart because some of you have never been through the inner healing classes. And, you know, in Genesis, it says we were created in the image of God. God created him, male and female created he them in his own image. So when we were first created, you know, I see God as a great diamond who has many reflections, and each of you reflects a certain portion of God. But when you were created just like God, in the image of your father. Today's Father's Day. You were created just like your daddy, God. And this week, I have to do this part. I was going to do it later, but I feel like I should do it now. When I was reading in Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. He wasn't just called to be a prophet the day he became a prophet, but he was created to be a prophet. Where God is taking you is to get rid of everything this world and this devil has done to you so that you can begin to see yourself. You know, the word says as we behold him, we're transformed into the self-same image. It's like a mirror. As you begin to behold God, you find out who you are in his image. You begin to see who you are supposed to be. That part of God you really love is the part he created you like. Some people love the activity of God, and some people love the peace of God, and some people love prophecy, some love preaching, some love prayer. I mean, where's Rick? There you are. I was praying for Rick this week. And when Rick prays, he just starts weeping. He just starts falling in love. You're so wonderful. You're so beautiful. And he just pours love on God. And he's beholding him. Can you imagine God bringing a team together of Ricks that would be in prayer like that while Apostle Harvey's preaching? They would just be in the presence of God, pouring love on him, bringing his very presence here because he loves to be praised and loved. Can you imagine that? God is going to form teams. Those of you with like passions, and I can't go into that, but I just had some revelation on that. But when we were born, this is a quick overview on your healing. When we were born, when God created us, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the belly, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Do you know what that means? Before God even began to shape you and create you, he knew you. He completely knew in his mind and in his heart who you were going to be. He said, I thought you up. I had an idea. I had a plan. And I had a need. And I said, I want to create another human. And I want a human who's going to look just like this. They might not like how they look. Do you know Jesus had no form or comeliness that anyone would behold him? Why? Because he didn't want people following him because he was macho and handsome, charming and charismatic. And so the women were always like, oh man, I want to marry him, flirt with that guy. You know, maybe he was a little ugly, a little not so tall. Maybe he was short and fat. Who knows? They called him a glutton. On purpose, God said, when I send my son to earth, he needs to be in a body that's not beautiful. Because I don't want them to follow him for his physical beauty. They're going to know that it's a spiritual thing. When he created you, he decided exactly what you needed to look like, what your personality should be, what your gifting would be, what he was going to do through you in your future, what you were here for, your mission, your purpose. He formed you in his mind before he even put you in the womb. And then he said, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Before you got out of that womb, God was in the womb with you, telling you who you are. He said to Jeremiah, I set you apart. I consecrated you. I dedicated you to be a prophet to the nations. This is what you're here for, Jeremiah. I'm planting this deep inside of you. All the desires, the good desires of your life, are going to tie in to what you were here for and who you're meant to be. And he proclaimed it in heaven. That word, or sanctified you, means I appointed you, I consecrated you, I dedicated you, I prepared you, and I proclaimed you. In heaven, God was saying, while Jeremiah's in the womb, angels, hear this. There is a prophet to the nations who will speak my words. Now, guess who else heard that? Our enemy, Satan. He heard the proclamation, and he said, this is a man who's supposed to speak for God? Then I need to get all my demons busy trying to convince him that he can't speak. I need to shut him up. So maybe when he's a little boy and he speaks up with his opinion, everybody else can slam him, laugh at him, cut him down, and tell him, you're a worst speaker I ever heard. If you haven't seen the movie Young Billy Graham, you should watch it. I love that movie. He gets called to preach. He goes off to Bible college, and he's terrible at it. The janitor's laughing at him, and he's saying, I've seen a lot of young men come through here. Let me tell you, you don't have it. Jack Hiles, who ran the biggest Baptist church, thousands and thousands of people, when he went to Bible college, they told him, you are never going to make it. You're a horrible speaker. People laughed at him and mocked at him and said, you know, if God called you to preach, don't you think he'd make you able to speak? Jeremiah said to God one day, the day God said this to him, Jeremiah said to God, I can't do it. I'm like a child. I can't speak. That's the day he was ready. And God said, you will do it because I'll be with you. I'll do it through you. See, when we're born, two things happen. Either people tell us how horrible we are, how stupid we are, how incapable we are. We get made fun of, cut down. The devil gets inside everybody and goes after you to make you feel like a failure who can do nothing. That's not who you really are. Those things that were spoken into you is not who you are. Or they tell you you're the best of the best. You are the greatest. You are so proud. Everything you do is the best. And you grow into this big, proud figure. And that's not who you are. Then we watch and we come up with a desired figure of who we want to be. TV hero, a favorite teacher, sports figure. We see somebody we wish we were, a personality we wish we were like. I used to wish, I was so jealous of the outgoing people because I was so shy. I wanted to be somebody else. And then we try to become that. If we get saved, get in church, maybe we find Bible characters, we want to become the best Christian you've ever seen. If we succeed, pride. If we fail, it's constant beating ourselves up. I'm no good. I keep failing. Failure. But when we see Jesus, all of this is gone. When we're doing inner healing, we peel these all off and get them out. That's what the fire does. That's what the furnace does. It burns away all these false images. It burns away the things that Satan has brought and told us we need, like anger, because anger is powerful and it can defend you. No. Like hiding so people don't see things you're ashamed of. Pride, who wants to make you look better than you are. All these things that the enemy has put in us. So when we go in the fire, it's important to realize nothing that is really you can be damaged by God's fire.
Right.
It can only be purified,
right,
enhanced, shine brighter. When we welcome the fire, God is after all the false images. He's after the enemy and everything the enemy has put into us. All the lies, the deceptions, the sin, the bad habits, the things we, wrong belief systems. And he's out to heal the wounds the enemy has brought. Because he wants to remove everything that is not purely who he created you to be. Fire purifies silver and gold. It purifies the real you. And it burns away what is not really you or for you or of you from God. So that's why we welcome this fire. So as we're going through the study of the fire, I want you to keep in mind, when it hurts and when it's hot, it won't hurt you. But it will hurt the false you. And it will hurt the enemy who has so much place in the you. The main thing is pride. It comes after our pride. And he can make the simplest, the devil can make the simplest things seem so difficult. God can want you to just stand up and say, raise your hand in the sky and say, I love Jesus. And the devil will make that the hardest thing you could imagine inside of you. Everything in you will be go, don't get up, don't stand up, don't get up, they're going to look at you, it's just stupid, it's out of time, he'll give you a million reasons not to do anything God wants. So we have to get rid of the fear, we have to get rid of the pride, we have to get rid of some things. I'm going to give you a handout at the end of class today. I'm explaining it because I don't know how far I'm going to get in the lesson on fire. It's a double identity test, two things about you. For one, it's going to show us where you need healing. And the first several pages is going to ask you a lot about your childhood and your past because it's going to show where you need inner healing. Some of these questions, I want you all to bring me back this paper. Filled out with as much as you're willing to let us know. You may want to answer some of the questions personally and not write your answer, and that's okay. If it's something you don't feel you can share, then don't put it on the paper. Make your own copy for your home edition. When I started reading through some of these, the questions that God put in me were not even on the paper. Because I started answering these childhood things. I've gone through so much inner healing. But when I started answering these childhood questions, and I looked back at my answers and went, I don't see one happy moment in my childhood. Not one. And you're supposed to have a happy memory, you know. Let's go back to being kids. I wasn't a happy kid. So I stopped and thought about it. And God asked me this question. Who liked you? Who liked you? And I had to think real hard. Because I had a hard time coming up with anyone in my life that liked me. I didn't have a friend. My sister didn't like me. My brother didn't like me. Some, you know how that goes. They might love you, but they don't always like you. I didn't think my mom or dad liked me. My aunts, uncles, they were all relatives from my mom's previous marriage. They didn't like me. Nobody at school liked me. You know what I came up with? A grandma who didn't live near us. My stepdad's mom, who didn't live anywhere near us. She never took me to her house to spend time with her. She came once in a great while. And one time, we went on a trip with her. And we were in the car, and I asked my dad, could we stop and get ice cream? He grumpily said, no! And my grandma winked at me and said, John, I really want ice cream. Let's stop. So he did. She did it for me. And that told me she liked me. And there was another time when I was very, very hurting as a teenager. And she said, they better not hurt my little Susie. That told me she liked me. I had an uncle who came to play cards with Mom and Dad once in a while. And he was a joker. I was scared to death of him because I was so shy. So I wouldn't even speak to him. But whenever I'd come in that room, he would joke, little Susie, come here. And I'd go, no. And I'd run. But I knew he liked me. Do you realize just calling me a pet name, just getting my dad to stop for ice cream, that was the only two incidents of my childhood that I could remember somebody liked me. Do you know how important it is to tell people you like them, you love them, even your children? I like you. I love you. Tell them, wow, good job. Nice. I love that about you. Those words go so deep in the spirit to let that person know they belong here. They are somebody. They're wanted. Do that for people. So when you answer these questions, God may bring you questions I didn't put on here. These are cues to your inner healing. Now, there's a reason nobody liked me. I didn't like me. Now, that's, you know, a vicious circle. If they don't like me, why would I like me? I don't like me. Why would anyone else like me? You know, that's how it goes. When you don't like yourself, you aren't friendly. You walk in a room with, now, why would anybody like me? When I walk around with that hateful face, my arms folded, why would they like me? I got a lot of people that like me now. And if I don't have a lot of people that like me now, I'm too dumb to know it because I found how much he liked me. And when he started liking me, I started liking me. Now I expect people ought to like me. So if they don't, I'm not even aware of it. Well, I'm aware of it sometimes if they make it real clear. I have lots of friends now, lots of people that like me and I like me. So it's all changed. Inner healing can change everything. On Father's Day, the greatest father. If your father was good, you still have woundedness. You still have gaps. But your Heavenly Father will fill those gaps, give you everything you need in your spirit to become who He made you to be. Because you are just like your Daddy God. So if we don't get any further than that, that's something. And I'm going to give these out. If you want one, take one. You probably should not have your child fill one out. You should just talk them through the questions you want to share with them. But they're really made for adults. And like I say, you share with your child according to what you know about them and what they can share with you. At the second half of this is more designed to find out your gifting in ministry. And I was only going to do that, discover your gifting in ministry, and God added all the front part. So take them home, fill them out, bring them back. And if you want to meet with me, we do things in teams, so it wouldn't be me alone. But in going through this, if you find yourself really in need of some counseling and some help to get through some of your own questions and need prayer, we'll meet with you privately and do that. Otherwise, we'll be going over this in class as the Lord leads. Let's get back to our melting pot. It's very important, though. This is very important because there's two things about melting pot. You have to realize it's going to purify the real you, only burn away the fake. Secondly, it's going to prepare you for ministry. It's going to prepare you. Jeremiah couldn't walk into that until the day God touched his lips and said, I put my words in your mouth today. Up until that minute, he wasn't ready. He was not ready. So this is stuff we have to do to get ready. We've got to go through the fire. So the melting pot, Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. Why only the third part? Because two-thirds ran away. Two-thirds couldn't take the heat. Two-thirds didn't want their transformation enough to stay in the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name. We will call upon the power, character, and presence of Christ. And I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. When you go through the fire, you will become the people of God. He will become your true Lord and God. Elijah's spirit is what we're looking for. Because the Elijah spirit is going to come upon his ministers so that we can prepare people for what God is getting ready to do. Malachi 3:1 says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He shall suddenly. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? God is coming. There is no doubt about that. And that's what he's telling us now. I'm getting ready to come closer, getting ready to do something, and I'm telling you now, everyone is invited into the melting pot. But only one-third of the people will stay in the fire. And those people will be ready when our suddenly day comes. But the suddenly day will come, whether we're ready or not. And the Lord said, who can handle it? Who can abide? Who can stay with God on the day that he comes? Because when he comes, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. That always means his ministers. He will be like the one poking the fire, stirring up the coals, making things hotter in your life. To purify the silver and to purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. There is a baptism of fire when God shows up. And he says, who can take it? Who will abide it? Anybody can if they want to enough. Because it's not like you have to try harder, be better, do better. No, all you have to do is say, keep on bringing it, Lord. Even if I kick and scream and fight and whine and don't like it, do it anyway. Don't give up on me. Don't stop on me. I want you to succeed in purifying me as silver and trying me as gold. To these who stay in the fire, he'll be able to pour out a greater amount of his Holy Spirit, his presence. We are his temple. It says suddenly he's coming to his temple. You're the temple. In the Old Testament, they built the temple out of gold and silver. And all the vessels inside were gold and silver. But today he says, you are the living temple of God. You're the temple of the living God. And he wants you to be the silver cup that he drinks from. He wants you to be the golden pipes that he flows through. Because he wants to abide inside of you, not be trapped with cloggy pipes, but be able to flow through us. So he's removing the clogs. And those who delight in him, they're going to accept this refiner's fire. The refining and the purifying of silver is going to cleanse. You know, it does remove dirt. I mean, we all look at what happens in that fire. Dirt boils up to the surface and it gets skimmed off. Sin will boil to the surface. All of a sudden, you're going, man, I thought I was doing pretty good, and now I keep losing my temper. That's because anger is still hiding in there. And God says, no more hiding. You're going to keep losing it to show you it's still there. People irritate you. Why? Because you're intolerant of people who are different than you. You're intolerant of people who do what you don't like them doing. Intolerance, right at the surface. Selfishness, cold-heartedness. You know, I'm so aware that I can't love like he loves. And I don't like it. I keep saying, Jesus, the way you love me is the way I want to love others, and I can't. When Jeremiah said, you're telling me I'm going to speak, and I can't. I don't know how to speak. God, you're telling us to love, and we don't know how to love. Our hearts, at the very best, the way we love our mate, the way we love mom and dad, the way we love our children, is still nowhere near the way God loves us. And sometimes we just go, oh, wow, man, I'm just ready to cry because he's loving me. But are you ready to cry with that much love you have for somebody else that's not your child, not your mate? We can't. We can't. But the humility of knowing I can't, but I'm willing to let you. And that's where it comes down to simple things. You know, you may look at somebody, you don't even like them. I was going to pretend I don't like Jackson this morning. And this is my drink. And I'm really hot. And God says, give this to Jackson because he's thirsty. Well, I'm thirsty too. Selfishness kicks in. And besides that, I might give a drink to Andrew. I like him. I share, but I don't like Jackson. I don't want to give him any. God says, but I want to. I growl all the time when I don't like things. That's my thing. I've taught all of her kids to growl. She doesn't like it. Stop growling like your grandma. God says, give him a drink. Out of my bottle. Has he got a cup? Maybe I could pour him a drink. Share it with him. Give him a drink. I might get germs. Am I going to obey? Because I can walk away and say, I just can't do it. I just can't. And my heart only gets colder. Or I can say, I don't want to, God, but I'm going to obey you. Here, go ahead. Have a drink. You put that fake grin on, you know. And then all of a sudden, something changes in your heart. The Holy Spirit begins to move and you go, he's really not such a bad guy. Maybe I do kind of like him. He's kind of cute. You know, look at the little freckles. Oh, okay. We won't get carried away here. And God says he does not only remove dirt, but he removes lead and copper. You know, when I paint, I get revelation of colors. And copper, which is one of my favorite colors, I hate to admit, because it's beautiful. I love copper. But you notice how it tarnishes and turns green when it gets in the sun? Rain and sun? Wow. Copper represents humanity, flesh, carnality, this world. It's an inferior metal. They only make pennies with it. And now it's not even good enough for that. I mean, you know, now they make pennies out of plastic. But copper is an inferior metal. It's a natural metal. And being carnal and human, I'm only human, you know, but it's copper. And when God wants silver and gold, he's even going to remove the copper. He doesn't want you living in copper. He wants you living in silver and gold. So even the copper starts getting strained out of us. The carnal things, the things that aren't sin, they're just not God things. They're just not good things for God. They're in his way. He's going to clarify and purge. And he's going to heal. He says, and I will come near to you to judgment. He's going to bring conviction and point out our sin. Now, we can do two things when he points out our sin, because we keep doing it. We can just beat ourselves up. I'm just going to give up. I'm a failure. I never get this. Or we can begin to recognize, of course I'm never going to get it. I'm not God. I'm the sinner. He's the God. But I'm not going to let my sin stop me. I'm going to confess it. There it is again, God. Did it again. Please forgive me. I'm looking for the day you get all that out of me. But in the meantime, I'm still going to do what you want me to do. So you keep working on my sin. You keep turning up the fire until you get it. But in the meantime, it's not going to stop me. I'm still going to do what you called me to do. Because when I do, I release you, not me. I'm
right.
Releasing you, not me. Point to Jesus.
Right.
Show them Jesus. Now, there's some things in us God is going after that he's going to point out. And he listed them. I'm not even looking these all up because of our time limit. But if you really want this, go and read the chapter. Do you know where we're at? I already forgot. Where are we at?
Malachi 3.
So, if you want to go and read that chapter, you'll see some things that God's going to surface in you. Sorcery. I don't do sorcery. Really? Let God start showing you what all is sorcery. Astrology is sorcery. There's a you watching it on TV and liking it. You watching magic, powerful magic things all the time on TV and loving it. Then you got sorcery spirits inside of you. He's going to expose them. Adulterers, unfaithful. I don't commit adultery. Really? If anything takes the place of God as your husband in your heart, it's adultery. What do you worship? What do you love? What's first most in your life? False swearers, liars, deceit. He's after them. It doesn't mean you're a liar. It means liars have placed liars inside of you. He's after them. He's after the lies of the devil that are against you. The devil is your accuser. And we keep letting him accuse us by agreeing with him. God is after that accuser to get him out of us. So he stops beating us up. Oppressing, hiding, selfishness, people that don't, things that don't fear God. We just go do whatever and have no fear about it. There's the thing about money, the love of money, greed for money. I need this, I need that, that's mine, I want it, not fair, I should get more. Tithing, man, I'm going to shave that dime, you know. I'm not getting more than a dime, God, out of that dollar. You know God doesn't need your money. You need to give it. Because if he doesn't have your wallet, he does not have your heart.
Right.
If he doesn't have your money, the love of money is at the root of all evil. Why? The things money can do. Not money itself. You can say, I don't love that dollar. No, but I love that thing that dollar does for me. Greed. Because it's tied to security, too. People complaining about serving God and getting nothing for it. Complaining. Griping. Those that fear the Lord met together often, and they thought about his name, and God remembered them. Who is God coming to even put in the melting pot? Those who love him, those who fear him, those who respect him, those who say, God, I want to know who I am in you, and I want everything else gone. I want to be in oneness with you. So I welcome any form you want to use to get me purified. Now, you'll put someone in your life, you might not like them in your face telling you what you don't want to hear, but maybe that's God's chisel, chipping them away at those things that you can't see if somebody else doesn't help you see them. Welcome it, even though you don't like it. And maybe they bring it in the totally wrong way. So now you get to practice forgiving your enemies by choice and not by feeling, but then take the thing they said home and say, God, is that true? God, is that something I need to accept even though I don't like who said it or how they said it? I forgive them. It's not about them. It's about me. Do I need to hear what they said? Take it to God. Malachi 4. The day comes and burns like an oven when all the proud and wicked shall be stubble. And God will burn them up. But you that fear his name, Jesus will arise with healing in his wings. In the midst of this melting pot, he arises with healing in his wings. All the things that are hurting, he wants to heal. The healing that's in there is tremendous. God is so gentle and good. And he said, and I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And when the spirit of Elijah comes, it will turn the heart of fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. It's really, really an awesome thing. I want to skip here to the results. There's a lot more. If you want to go through and study some of these things yourself, just look up fire, burning, purging, refining. Follow those words and look for more. Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You want to be a spokesman? No smoking. You want to be a spokesman for God? You want His pure words to really be pure in your mouth? Then they can't be tainted with your woundedness. They can't be tainted with your opinions, your wrong belief systems, your anger and your hate, revenge. We have to get purified to carry purified words. Psalm 66:10, for you, O Lord, have proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried. 11 and 12. Through the affliction, through the fire, through the water, you brought us out into a wealthy place. And then Psalm 68:13. Though you have line among the pots. You know what that means? A hook that hooks an animal up to flay him wide open. God said, though I hooked you and hung you up to flay you wide open, even though, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. Can you imagine, after the flaying, the picture of someone who can fly in the heavenlies with wings of silver and their feathers dusted in gold? Because you can fly in the heavenlies with God because you allowed Him to take you through the melting pot. That passage was Psalm 68:13. Okay, I want to just hand out these papers and keep it as personal as you want, or talk with a friend or your mate while you go through it. And we will talk about some of it in here, and I will talk with you personally if you want personal time. Father, we thank you. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for being our Father. You are the greatest Father. We thank you for giving us a Father in the flesh, but we thank you that you come and personally father us. We love you. We honor you on this Father's Day. And we invite you, God. I can only speak for myself, but I hope others join in. Flay me wide open, Lord. Put me in the deepest fire, Lord. Burn away everything the enemy has done in my thinking, in my emotions. Purify me, Lord. Melt away what isn't you, so that I can be transformed, restored to how you created me, and beyond that, transformed into who you're taking me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.